Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk some Disney news and we're going to get into some other Disney discussions. What's coming up next on Traveling with the Mouse? Welcome, everybody, to episode number 391 of Traveling with the Mouse. My name is Adam. I'm your host this week. And I am joined by the most brilliant co-hosts in the world. First, we have John.
Playful spooks have interrupted our podcast.
Oh, no. That's like a common occurrence on that, right? And yes. We have Jason.
Well, Splash may be closed, but there's been a new splashdown of a balloon this week.
Wow.
I figured I had to bring up the balloon. Everybody's talking about
the water balloon.
The balloon.
Keeping it topical. Yeah, I like it.
I think Disney's got to watch out, though. I'm not going to get on the Aerofile balloon anytime soon, just in case they decide to shoot that down, too. So,
It costs money anyway, right?
It does.
What costs money?
To shoot something? Balloon at, you know, but the balloon at...
Oh, to get up in the... Oh, yeah, it does.
At Disney Springs. It's, like, not cheap either.
I don't know how much it is. I never priced it.
Too much.
You're saying it's too much for the experience. Kind of like the Star Cruiser.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, there's some news to talk about. I thought we'd talk some other stuff, too, but obviously Tron continues to stay in the news.
Which is odd for a movie that was made in 1982.
Yeah. And the sequel in 2010, even still, it was 13 years ago.
Yet it's trending. I mean, I don't get it.
Well, they started building the ride when the sequel came out. Now it's
feels that done. Way. I thought they started building it in 1982, 83.
I think
maybe.
So. Really? Yeah, if you think about it, if you really think about it, they did.
Yeah. It's been in the works that long.
Well, I'll only be 82.
Yeah.
That's what I felt like when it was going to be finished. No.
Well, let's see. Where are we at now currently? The canopy is officially on right now. Yeah. That's happened.
I thought that was already on. No?
Well, it's like officially on every night now, I guess.
Oh, you mean on like on, lit up. On. Okay.
Yeah, it's like on.
I thought it's on. But like it's on it. I mean, what?
Cast member previews are starting as you're hearing this. And
yep.
And the on ride looked pretty much the same.
Right. I mean, there's no real surprises. Difference between the Shanghai one and this one. Not at all. But it looks cool. The launch is probably the best part. It sort of ends kind of abruptly. It's just sort of like, okay, the other one crashed, and now it's over.
The game is over. That's how the light cycle game works.
Right. So if we've seen this, I mean, again, we still haven't ridden it. But my initial thoughts on it are that I still think I will like Guardians better, personally. But I think this will be a fun...
You're going to make that judgment just from looking at it?
Yeah, I mean, just thinking about the kind of the hassle you have to go through in the sense of you got to put your stuff in a locker, you got to fit into the thing. And
you're just doing everything you can to drag this down so your favorite will still be... Your favorite.
I don't know. And it's short. That's the other thing. It's very short, this ride. Very, very short. So I'm like, I don't know. That's my thoughts.
How short?
Keep the line moving.
It's what? Less than 90 seconds total from launch to...
I don't know. It's
not long. It is not long at all.
However, it will continue to operate rain or shine or lightning, apparently. I guess that's what the canopy provides. I don't know.
I suppose, yeah. That's a good thing because you can run it in the storms, which is good. So it's basically an indoor coaster with an outdoor section that's still covered.
That's covered, yeah.
It says duration 2 minutes, but I don't think it's that long from launch to end. But
I don't know. I think it's more than 90 seconds. That's just my thinking. But either way, it still looks fun. I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, only go 90 seconds that can be fun. I'm just saying.
It's not how long it is, it's how much you enjoy the experience.
How long is Rocket?
Barnstormer is about 90 seconds, right?
Gosh, it's probably less,
one of the funnest coasters in all of Magic Kingdom, right? So there you go.
Because it's 60 seconds lift hill and then 30 seconds everything else.
30 second thrill.
Yeah, the lift hill is definitely the longest section of Barnstormer. But
no, what's the ride time on Rockin' for Real? Do we have that handy? I don't guess I have it handy.
According to this, Barnstormer is 53 seconds long. Ride time.
There you go.
According to Wikipedia.
So it says that Rockin' Roller Coaster is about minute 22. So it's also short.
Yeah.
There you go.
So I can't believe Tron is 2 minutes. I've watched several videos. And I'm like, this doesn't feel like 2 minutes to me. But
that's what. Oh,
2 minute. Anyway, but it says on Wikipedia it's 2 minutes long. So maybe it is. I mean, I guess it depends on if you're talking about loading and unloading. And
Cosmic Rewind is about 3 minutes and 20 seconds.
Right, which is good. I mean, that's a good length. Cosmic Rewind is a long experience for a coaster.
Well, I was going to say, Cosmic Rewind is just that. It's more of an experience, whereas Rockin' and Tron, they're true coasters. Let's just be honest. I mean,
are you trying to say that Cosmic Rewind is not a true coaster?
I'm saying that it uses coaster elements, but it's much more than that.
It's not even really a ride. It's just transportation. It just takes you back from, you know, you leave and you go back in time and then you come back to the present.
Where you were.
So yeah. Really, it's not even a ride. It's just a mode of transportation.
Yeah, I mean, it's really them just trying to copy Back to the Future like 20 years too late. I mean, as far as the ride goes, I mean.
Right. It's basically the Wildlife Express train. It takes you to the Epcot parking lot and back.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
That's basically what it is. It's a parking lot tram.
All kidding aside, it has coaster elements, but it's not really. I don't know if I would call
it's a coaster.
I mean, it's a coaster, but it's more than a coaster, is what I'm trying to say. It's like a hybrid.
It's not even a ride.
It's just not a ride. Rockin' is a straight up coaster.
No, just kidding. It's a great ride. I'm just trying to be silly at this point.
Yeah.
Because he's but Rockin's John's a being ridiculous. John's being ridiculous.
Rockin's a straight up coaster.
What part of Guardians is not a coaster?
What part of Guardians is not a coaster?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's very screen heavy. So, well, I don't know. Maybe Tron is too. So, I don't know. I can't explain
it. What are you even saying?
I don't know.
What do you even say?
I don't really know anymore at this point.
I mean, the very beginning where you're going up the lift, but you're still going up a launch hill, you know, the beginning.
Okay, it's a coaster.
A lift hill.
I don't know what I'm saying. I was just trying to create controversy.
I mean, it's a more detailed experience than any coaster I've been on, for sure, yes.
Well, there you go. That's kind of what I'm talking about. That's why I said there's more to it.
There is, but it's still a coaster.
You have to remember, it was also built after Tron. Tron is a copycat. Just saying.
The AI says it's a coaster, John.
Oh, wow. Well, there you have it.
Well, I mean, I can't argue GPT. With AI. I can't argue with ChatGPT. Besides, ChatGPT will be taking over our jobs soon. So,
yeah. So, as of the recording of this, there's still no detail on when we'll get the email about registering for the pass holder or DVC previews, you know, the other preview. So we assume it'll be in March because they haven't, we're already February, you know, getting to mid February and there's still no word on it yet. So
mid February, it's the 5th day of February when we've recorded this.
Well, when you're listening to this, we're like,
who doesn't know what they're talking about now?
How many days are in February, Adam? I want to quiz you.
Shortest day of the month. So mid-February is a week from...
Shortest day of the month.
Shortest month of the year.
Shortest month of the year. It's a good month, though. I heard that the midway point, the actual midway point, is a good day. February the 14th.
Oh, well, yeah. It's February my birthday, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't understand where you were going with that until I'm like...
A massacre happened on that day. So, I mean, there's that. Let's see.
But it's also Adam's birthday. It's a Valentine's
Day.
Well,
a massacre happened the day after yours, John, so whatever.
Yeah, I know. That was a mass suicide.
Yeah. Still
happening. Where is this going? What is
I don't know.
I don't know. We're all over the map today.
Speaking of maps. Oh.
Speaking of maps.
I got nothing on that.
Yeah, nothing with that. How about the rumor about Pecos Bills? You want to bring that?
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, let's shift gears then. I was going to say, is there any more Tron news other than that? I don't think there is, right? I know of.
There's been some controversy from the cast member previews about fitting. People are not fitting into the, and that they only have the alternative back row for like every other car. So they're a little bit worried that it's going to be a bottleneck here.
Right, because too many people will want to get on, but then will have trouble loading maybe or not fitting properly and then have to get off or whatever.
Universal has managed to get around it. I mean, the ride is what it is.
I remember, though, Flight of Passage had that issue when it first opened, and then all of a sudden nobody talks about it anymore. So is this going to be a thing after a while?
Physics matters. Just saying.
Well, we'll see how it goes, but yeah. I mean, I'm trying to get in Tron shape. That's part of what my my diet. Tron shape. Yeah, I'm doing.
I think you're okay.
I'm just trying to.
I don't think you're in the morbidly obese range as we speak, but
well, still.
Wow. Wow. We're really setting the high standard for Adam over here.
As we speak. But you think I'm getting there, so what you're saying. Okay. Pleasingly plump. That's what I am.
Pleasingly plump.
I think, though, that the question is, once it gets under full ride operation, are they going to have any issues? And I think they'll figure it out. They'll figure out
how to. I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal.
Yeah.
I think someone wants to make it a big deal, like usual, but it's not really going to be that big of a deal.
Usually these things get the headlines in the beginning, and then it's like, you know, fades away.
Hey, at least they had, like you say, a back row, an alternative. I don't think the Universal did that with either of their coasters that have certain size standards, we'll say.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that pretty much covers Tron for now.
For now. I'm sure we'll talk about it a bit more as eventually we get to ride it, I hope.
Yes, soon.
One can only hope.
If not, I mean, at least I know, Jason, you have a trip booked for that week that it opens. So that's at least you'll get to ride it. If we don't get a preview, you'll at least get to ride it that week.
That's right.
Gotta figure that out. I gotta figure out when I'm gonna go back. I haven't decided.
As long as you can pull a boarding group, right?
As long as I can pull a boarding group.
Yes. We've gotten good practice on boarding groups, so I think we're.
That's correct. We sure have.
We've done quite a few at this point. Yeah. We've learned a thing or two. So let's move to what John was talking about, shifting gears over towards Tiana's Bayou Adventure / Frontierland / what are we going to say? New Orleans Square instead of Frontierland? No. At Magic Kingdom? No, but
It would be really hard for them to fit a New Orleans Square in between Frontierland. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, maybe some of the Beyond Big Thunder is going to be the new Frontierland.
Ah, I got you. However, again, it's just rumor at this point. The retheming of Pecos Bills is not out of the question.
It makes sense. I mean, it's the nearest restaurant, right?
Yeah.
And we know Disneyland is already getting Tiana's Palace restaurant or whatever.
Place. That's what it's called in the movie. I'm pretty sure it's just Place because in the movie it's called Tiana's Place.
I could have swore the wording said Palace. But anyway, the restaurant is going at Disneyland, New Orleans Square, but it makes more sense there because it's New Orleans Square and then Crater Country is right next to that, where they'll essentially just extend that to where Splash currently sits in Disneyland.
It's actually a little bit of a distance, but it's reasonable.
Yeah, can make the leap, so to speak, and then,
no pun intended.
Yeah,
frog literally. Leap.
So you can make the jump, hop over to from Tiana's to Splash Mountain there, which will be her Bayou Adventure. There's a new story update, which I'll get into in a minute about that. The backstory is kind of interesting. But what do we think about Pecos Bills? Could that become that? How would that work?
Would you be sad if we lost Pecos Bills?
No, because...
What about the fix on that good bar?
Well, when the toppings bar went away because of COVID, that lost a lot of the allure.
Oh, did it never return?
It still has not, as of today. You can ask for toppings at the counter when you go pick up your order, and they'll give you like individual little cups of whatever, like extra cheese or sour cream or whatever. Not the same as just digging in to your own. Like, you could almost make your own like meal out of the toppings bar.
And Adam would go in there and use his hand and just like grab the sour cream with his hand and dump it.
Yeah, I would. And then, you know, I would use the sour cream because then the lettuce and the tomatoes and everything would stick to that. And I would just have like a huge handful of basically a salad. And then I would just eat it out of my hand.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I would just get a bottle of water and then go to the toppings bar. And that would be my lunch, is the salad.
When they changed the menu to full on like Tex-Mex, I don't think it really changed its popularity any of you. I mean, that's been a while.
Yeah, it's like, it's fine. It's a moderately okay burger that's like a frozen patty that's cooked on a griddle.
Well, I mean, it's quick service, but I mean, it used to be a go-to of mine, actually, quick service for quite some time.
I mean, the standard for quick service in Magic Kingdom is so low, so.
The bar is so low that James Cameron could not raise it.
Well,
so,
with that.
Yeah, anyway. But the bar is low. Let's put it that way. I mean, Lunching Pad, Cosmic Rays.
Essentially serves the same stuff that the Pecos Bills used to serve. But like I said, when they changed it to put a little bit of a Tex-Mex menu, I guess that gave it a little bit of versatility, we'll say.
Yeah.
It kind of fit more in the area, too, to do Tex-Mex. So.
The Big Al Burger is what I've been getting the last... couple of
it's still essentially the same fast food burger though that they serve everywhere, right?
Yeah, it's just a double patty on the Big Al Burger, right? And bacon and cheese or whatever,
right?
And it was one of the 50th anniversary like editions or whatever.
Yeah, so retheming it to Tiana's Place, which I'm pretty sure I'm right about,
it would not hurt my feelings,
would be okay. I mean, I know Pecos Bills has been there for quite some time, but I mean, folks, it's not like it was the original name of this eating establishment.
And I think the only reason we're saying this, right, is because people spotted Imagineers walking around the restaurant, right, looking at stuff.
Yeah, somewhat. Yeah, I was going to say it's rumor for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I think it was just called Long Mile Bar at one time, even though it didn't have any alcohol. But.
Maybe that's what they're going to. Maybe it's not going to be Tiana's Place. Maybe they're looking to turning it into an actual first bar at Magic Kingdom.
It's possible. I mean, hey, changing it back to Long Mile Bar with actual alcohol.
There you go.
Make it feel like an Old West type bar, maybe. Do they even have one of those? That would actually be a pretty good idea for Disney if they decided to do that. Anyway.
It says Palace, does that not? On the official Disney Parks blog?
Yep, it says Palace.
But I'm saying in the movie, it's Place. Just saying.
Go watch the movie again.
You need to go watch the movie again. I know what I'm right. Saying.
Okay, well, at Disneyland, it's going to be Palace.
All right.
Unless they typoed the thing. Anyway.
That's possible.
So the construction walls now have this Tiana's Foods, established in 1927. Sign on the wall, like it before it was what the Southern Salt Company or something like that. So now at least they have the Tiana's Foods logo on there, which is cool. And the backstory here is at a young age, Tiana developed a deep passion for cooking and the dream of opening her own business. So she purchases a salt mine in the surrounding
area,
as
one does,
with a large salt dome. Right, that's what happens.
I mean, hey, it fits, I guess.
And I like to cook. I've looked in the salt mines myself. There's just not been any good deals nearby in Atlanta that I can really pick up. You know,
yeah,
just
no haven't salt had a chance.
Yeah, I'm going to look real quick, just see if there's any available for sale.
All right, look on Zillow, see what we can find. I'm just kidding. So she buys the salt mine and the surrounding land, and she's growing a wide array of vegetables and herbs and spices for her recipes. So they're going to turn this aging salt mine into a space that's come alive, complete with a boutique farm, both working and teaching kitchen. Tiana's Foods is where Tiana and her colleagues create all sorts of new products that they will be bringing to the world, that including a line of hot sauces. So I'm like, okay, is this what's going to be in the gift shop at the exit? Some original hot sauces. That's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Tiana wants to give a big thanks to her family and friends and the entire community for all the support they've given by throwing an amazing party during Mardi Gras. When it turns out there's been a bit of a mix-up within the party preparations, Tiana invites us to meet her at Tiana's Foods to help with the missing ingredient for the party. What's that missing ingredient? You? Me?
We'll never know.
All of us? I guess. We'll find out next year. When we arrive, we see that Tiana has spruced up the company's facilities with the vibrant art from local artists. Food for the party is being prepared, and beignets are being loaded into crates for the celebration. Is that a hint that we might have a beignet cart at least, or something?
That would be worth all of it. Yes.
Yeah. Because that would be great. Because right now at Disney World, the only place to get it is Port Orleans French Quarter, right? It's the only place you can get beignets. The Mickey beignets. All kind of preparations are underway for the journey into the bayou with Tiana, along with new and familiar friends from the animated film. Picking up where the story left off, Tiana continues bringing people together with her foods, another treasured meeting place to spend time together and celebrate the diverse community. Tiana is working with cooperative members to teach gardening and cooking to children of all ages, inspiring other women to run successful businesses as the brand grows nationwide. That's the official backstory that they gave so far. So she's got her own salt mine, and we're going to go find her missing ingredient, maybe?
And this is all set after the first movie.
Yeah.
Or did they say that specifically? I mean, I was just thinking, because I would really like to see Ray. I think he'd be a fun character to have featured in the ride.
Yeah.
But if they're going to do it after the movie, it's kind of hard to do.
Right. It's going to be after the movie, according to this. I mean, it's continuing where the story leaves off. So, it's going to be after. Whatever they come up with, let's see. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I spent some time while you were reading the story.
Yes.
And I have yet to find a salt mine for sale that I can purchase.
Well, I guess we'll just have to go visit Tiana's salt mine.
Yeah. I don't really understand how one just decides to buy a salt mine.
Well, when you need salt for your restaurant, Tiana's Palace, I guess you have to. I'm just saying, that's what it's going to be.
It's place in the movie, and it's place on the cruise line. I'm just saying.
Well, it's Palace here at Disney.
I know, but it's still, that doesn't make sense, though.
I don't know. Well, that's...
There's a poster from the movie if you want to see what it says. It says place. Just go look it up.
Well, I don't know. That's why I think everyone is confused by it. I don't know why they changed it.
I don't know if they did.
Anyway.
I think there's some dyslexia going on in the community. Among the cast, even. Members.
But, people keep posting about, oh, the construction is, like, going so fast. What are they doing? Like, well, that's why they close it.
It's still going to take a minute.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to take at least a year.
It's almost like they've never seen an attraction close and be rethemed before.
Speaking of closing and such, what happened to People Mover the other day? Looks like it was the, not escalator, what do you call it, the ramp, moving ramp had problems the other day, and they had a big curtain around People Mover. Is it back open?
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
I haven't looked, actually.
I feel like I saw people riding it yesterday as we're recording this, so I think it's back open, but I guess they had some problem with the mobile ramp again.
I don't see anything that says that, but it could. I mean, surely it is by now. Surely it can
I think be I
that
saw. Way. Yeah, I think I saw a video of someone riding it. But anyway, that was another weird thing that happened.
Well, I finally found a salt dome for sale.
Oh, you did? Where?
It's in Wharton County, Texas. I don't know if it's still for sale. I just found it. A listing. It's a PDF, so it might be sold. 209 acres, two tracts of land.
Ooh, that's big.
$6 million.
I think you might could get a good letter of credit to purchase that, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to put a ride on it.
Yeah.
Put my own Tiana's Bayou Adventure right on there.
That's a pretty big piece of land just to put one ride on, though.
Yep.
Jason's Bayou Adventure.
That's right.
Do you think you could get it open for Disney's?
I had no idea Nope. You had a New Orleans heritage, Jason.
Well, this is in Texas, so.
Oh, when you have a Texas heritage?
I do not.
Don't mess with Texas.
Polynesian's lobby is getting another kind of refresh. Like, didn't they just get one not that long ago?
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Don't understand
that. I see it.
You're really missing out on one of the big stories of the week because you just didn't want to talk about it.
What?
Or did we talk about it last week? No, did we not talk about it last week?
Oh.
About the monorail being off.
No, we mentioned it last week. Yeah. We mentioned that. Yeah,
well, it came back and it was going super slow.
Yes. Apparently, there's a section of the track that it has to go really slow on or something between Grand Floridian and Magic Kingdom Station. So, what is that about? Is it just the track is out of line or something?
Yeah, something like that. Or, you know, they heard you say, oh, we don't have to ever go down for refurbishment. And
did I say that?
It's like a lot of things that are 50 years old. It starts to slow down.
Yeah.
Now, apparently there's a section where it's going slow. I'm curious now, though, is it still like several days later? Is it still that way? Are they just going to do that forever now?
I just wanted to bring it back up. And since I remember once I started that you'd already mentioned it, but still, just wanted to remind you that the monorail is having issues and the Skyliner, I believe, is done with its refurbishment. So,
yeah,
just saying.
So it's just back up to its usual. By the way, the Skyliner has crashed a couple of times.
Uh-huh. How many doors have opened while the Skyliner's moving?
I mean, just give it time.
I'm going to say it took how many years for the monorail? Is that what your point is?
Right. That's what I'm saying. We've already had two crashes on the Skyliner in, what, less than 5 years, 4 years?
Well, all I'm saying is at least on the same, it's probably just that many on the monorail. I'm just saying.
Yeah, after 50 years.
Yeah, but still, they're tied, if nothing else.
Okay. One has been open for, I don't know.
I could be wrong. There's only one crash I can think of. Well, one that made a lot of media coverage anyway. There might have been others, but the other one was a fire that I can think that I'm thinking of. So there are really just two incidents.
Back in 85.
But yeah, it was a long time ago.
And of course, you know, the one in 2009, that was the worst one. But yeah, still.
That was like right before we went that time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like a couple of days, like 4 or 5 days.
It was not long.
Yeah.
Did we talk about Sunny Eclipse being like totally removed, it seems like?
We were saying we hope that Sunny Eclipse will come back.
But they put Club Tinsel back up. It says inexplicably returns.
Really?
Yes.
I did not see that. I'm curious.
Sunny having some big time problems?
Maybe. He was a complicated animatronic.
He's been there a while.
Maybe they're going to make a better one.
I saw a video of him leaking. I don't know how long ago it was.
Like hydraulic fluid or something?
Yeah, like pretty bad. Like it was like he was peeing or something. I mean, it was pretty severe.
Yikes. Let's see. Frozen sing-along returned. That was another one that happened. They got a theater, got a refresh.
Some new songs, or is that the case? No?
I have not seen anything official yet on that. Did it get a new?
I hope so, because I hope that was part of the reason that they were doing it. Not just a fresh coat of paint.
I'm looking. I don't see anything about the...
You would think that would make
songs
front page news. I guess that's all it says. It says finally drops the physical distancing. I guess they still kept that for quite some time.
Yeah, they had that on the chairs, and it looks like they refreshed the carpeting and stuff like that. But anyway.
Wow, I'm really surprised they didn't add Frozen 2 songs.
Yeah.
What are we going on, 4 years this winter since the movie's been out?
I don't get that, why they didn't do that. Anyway, the Garden Rocks.
Yeah. What about Garden Rocks?
They listed the performances. I know you guys are big Blue Oyster Cult fans. Hey,
gotta have that cowbell.
Basically. Yeah. They're going to be March 19th and 20th, so they're going to bring in springtime.
Okay. Of course, you got to have Smash Mouth.
Yep.
Yeah. During your trip, there's going to be TBD on one of the days. TBD.
Always got to see them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Journey, you totally skipped over them. That's a big one.
Yeah, Starship, I was going to say. Daughtry's coming.
Daughtry, that's a big one.
Apparently, he's is he a big one?
Was really? A big one. I mean, at one point in time, he was.
Switchfoot is new. They're going to be there.
That's a big one.
That's a new one. I'm just looking at the new ones. Casting Crowns.
Oh, wow.
Flock of Seagulls, Joe DiMassina. Cool in the Gang. Herman's Hermits.
Jason Schiff, longtime lead singer of Chicago. He's a new one.
He is? I don't remember him.
Playing White Tees while they're still a thing. Some of these, you look at the thing and you're like, oh, gosh, that's what they're doing now.
I know a lot of these. Wang Chung, Living Color, Cult of Personality, come on. Simple Plan. Aren't they the ones that did that My Friends Over You or whatever it was? I don't remember. Rick Springfield, hello. Jesse's Girl.
The Pointer Sisters, that's cool.
I would actually see a lot of these. Maybe that says something about my age.
Yeah, you're getting old, man. No, there's several decent ones. I mean, but usually it's like you're walking by the America Pavilion and you're like, oh, I know that song or whatever. And you're like, who's playing today? Oh, that's cool.
Starship.
It's never like, oh, I want to go to Disney to hear this person sing or whatever.
I want to go to every one of these dates.
Yeah.
I want to go to TBD.
Whoever TBD is.
Yeah. Well, you're going to be there for TBD, so let me know how that is.
Might be someone special.
Might be a good one.
Who would you want to see as TBD?
Who?
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Oh, the Who. No. Okay.
Who?
I don't know.
The Guess Who?
I don't really know.
You really care, right?
Not really.
Who would be both available and you would want to see?
Paul McCartney.
Yeah. Hey, well, I don't know about the available part, but
when would he ever play like an Epcot venue?
I was gonna say, just to give you perspective here, the guy they got from the Eagles was Don Felder. So just saying.
Yeah.
Well, if it's McCartney though.
Yeah. He's still selling out arenas.
If you're gonna get a Beatle, you might be able to find what was the name of the original drummer? You might be able to get him.
Pete Best.
Yeah, Pete Best. You might be able to get Pete Best.
He's still alive.
He's alive.
Ringo might actually do Epcot at some point.
Ringo, just get Lizzo.
Lizzo?
Yeah. It's about damn time. That Lizzo?
Yeah.
I don't know how to segue out of that one.
Guns N' Roses? I mean, sure, they would play it, right? Anyway.
As you're listening to this, you'll have already heard news about the Reedy Creek Improvement District, because that's happening February 6th. Some meeting about that, so there'll be more news.
You'll have some sort of news.
We'll have something, probably. But
for next week.
Should we talk about that 96% of Disney World cast members reject Disney's proposed $1 raise?
Yeah, they want like $4 or something, I think. $4 or $5.
Maybe they'll get at least some more than that?
Well, if it's a negotiation, then that's a starting point. That's kind of what they were looking at. Very rarely in these things is the initial offer the one that's taken, right? I mean, so.
Yeah.
So. The negotiations never took place.
Just kidding.
And we will be right back.
Calling all parents. Meet the Family Cash Card, Greenlight's newest credit card for parents. You can earn up to 3% cash back on every dollar spent. No limits, no categories, no hassle, no kidding. You can choose to auto-invest your cash back to pay for your kids' college, apply it to your balance, or send your cash back straight to your wallet. It's basically cash back your way every day. Get started today at greenlight.com.
And now back to the show.
So, I had something I wanted to bring up.
What's go that? Ahead.
Do you guys follow Jim Shull on Twitter?
Who?
Jim Shull, S-H-U-L-L.
I guess not.
Former Imagineer. He's been referred to several times on the Disney Dish from Jim Hill.
Okay. As one Jim to another.
Former Imagineers worked on a lot of different stuff. And I like following him because he posts like random tidbits about rides when they were built and what they were thinking and some of the insights. And he posted something January 30th about how he had a Blue Sky project he was working on. This was for Disneyland. And it was to develop an Oswald and Ortensio ride to replace Roger Rabbit's cartoon spin. It would use the facility and ride system, but use projection mapping and painting the sets in 1920s black and white style for a low-cost investment to deliver a unique ride. Think about that. Bring in Oswald and Ortensia back now that, you know, they're sort of getting... I feel like more and more people are starting to catch up with who Oswald is, and now that Disney owns him again and all that.
Well, I would have agreed with you like a decade ago whenever they first did this. But, I mean, lately they haven't really done much with him. I think he's kind of faded to the background.
There was a discussion that they may, like, make a couple of – they might make content for Disney Plus now. You know, like, they're scraping the bottom of the barrel. They'll use anything they got.
Well, what I'm saying is, though, when they first got him, they came out with two video games, right? And like I said, that was a decade ago, if not more, if not longer. And then after that, what happened? I don't recall them doing anything else with him. So it's been quite some time since I've actually utilized him in anything.
Right.
And why not? I think they've, you know, maybe waited a little too late. The interest has probably waned some. I don't know. Perhaps. If you do an attraction with him, though, it could definitely come back, the interest. If you do it well, let's put it that way.
It would have to be really well done. To make it interesting.
Roger Rabbit's cartoon spin, though, has it had really a big following? Like, I mean, does there that people, many people?
People
that
don't want it to go away, but they changed it up to make Jessica Rabbit have a bigger part, supposedly, when it reopens. She's gonna be a detective or something in the reopening of Toontown. Right.
Trying to give her a less demeaning, I guess. Role in the ride.
I used to watch Roger Rabbit all the time as a kid. I don't know why. I was always.
It's not really a kid movie. Really,
I wasn't really allowed to.
That's what I was gonna say. It's not really a kid movie, truthfully. But
when I was a child, yeah.
And though it was Disney, I mean, you know, that was one that Disney did not put under their banner. That's the one. One of the ones they put under Touchstone.
Right.
But it was Disney.
Yeah, they made it. And Hollywood Studios, MGM Studios opened with a lot of Roger Rabbit.
Well, it was fresh at that time. Roger Rabbit debuted. The movie came out in 1988, and the park opened in 1989. So,
yeah,
it's only natural.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool that you could do in the backlot area there. You could have a lot of stuff from Roger Rabbit, especially even that steamroller was back there. That was pretty cool. And, of course, the Dipmobile was on the backlot tour.
Yep. Speaking of Toontown, though, I don't think we talked a lot about Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway at Disneyland opening. I'm sure all seen it.
Yeah, we didn't mention that. Yeah.
I think we mentioned it last week, but now that we've seen it and it's open and, you know, people have done it and I watched the ride through, there's a few differences I noticed for sure.
I think they made a better version of it. I think they improved upon.
Yeah. And the queue.
The queue blows it away.
Yeah, it's. But I understand, you know, you have the Chinese theater and the inside of the Chinese theater. You don't want to like strip it out and turn it into a cartoony movie theater interior. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't match, right? So I guess it makes sense that they, you know, didn't really theme it very heavily at Hollywood Studios. But man, the one at Disneyland, the El Capitan Theater, is really cool, and the interior of that queue is fantastic. They did an amazing job with that.
Yeah.
One of the big differences I noticed in the ride, though, was Daisy's studio. You exit the opposite direction mm-hmm. as you do oh. in the one.
And the very end, you and go down like a corridor, right?
Yeah, it's like a much longer exit from the last, what do you call it? The room, you know, where you're about to get smashed, and then it turns into the whatever park, and you come out.
The smasher.
It's a much longer, whatever you call it, yeah.
And they're on the right side, right?
Yes, it's a, and it's a different side, yeah. It's a much longer exit, which is probably better, because I think it gets backed up quite a bit at Hollywood Studios. So maybe that helps that a little bit.
I actually watched a side-by-side comparison.
Yeah.
And there's actually a lot more than you would think that's different. Timing, for one thing. The people in the back and, you know, like the gap, I guess, between the number of people. Like, say, the first room that you go into with the Western scene, right?
Yeah.
The timing is better. As far as everybody getting to see the pretty much the whole scene, right? And
yeah.
It seemed like if you were in one of the back cars, like you kind of like saw something you're not supposed to see almost, because it took longer. It seemed like it took longer to get those out. Like it was like a pause, I guess.
Well, I remember like the last time I rode Runaway Railway at Hollywood Studios, I was in the back car, and I think it may have been the first time I've been in the very back car. And that first scene, yeah, you kind of miss a lot of it because. Mm-hmm. It's like most of it's already happened by the time you get in that room. And then it's like, oh, Mickey and Minnie are already like kind of waving goodbye by the time you get in there.
And just before that, though, actually the scene when they're in the car, it kind of develops a little slower. So you actually see more of that as well.
Right. What I saw of it, yeah, it was a much slower. Yeah.
Yeah.
Seemed slower.
One of the things that I noticed that they didn't really say anything about, though, was in Daisy's room, the lighting was different for some reason. I don't know why that was.
Yeah, I have to look at that. I just remembered noticing, oh, you exit the opposite direction as you do in Hollywood Studios.
The timing is better in a lot of scenes.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way. For every car. They improved upon some things that were...
In the first...
Probably not as noticeable.
Yeah. It's almost better, I guess, that you get the second version of a ride because they have time to...
In a way, they can see the bugs, right? They can see the things that they didn't quite perfect the first time.
Subtle improvements, yeah.
Yeah. It's just like space, for instance. The space in Disneyland is definitely better.
Yeah. Indeed.
Things I wonder improve. What it'll be like. Well, you know, how is space in France? How's that one?
I mean, it's like Rock and Roller Coaster to me.
It has a launch.
It was intense.
Right,
so. Yeah, it has the launch. It goes upside down quite a bit. It was
inversions?
Yeah, it's intense. It was Hyperspace Mountain when I did it.
Yeah.
And it was nice.
Should we talk a little bit about my upcoming Paris trip?
Sure. Yeah, you've got one in March. You're going to be there.
Yeah. Because I sent you all what I purchased. And maybe we could talk a little bit about the pricing and how it all worked out. So March the 14th. I'll be in Paris with my mom, my son, my niece, and my sister for several days. And for one day, we are going to make our way out to Disneyland Paris. So we have exactly one day. We're not staying there. And so I looked at the prices, and I think it ended up being about $105 a person for a day ticket.
Right.
My son was like $96. But then I was presented with the option of getting Disney Premier Pass Ultimate, or whatever it's called. Premier Access Ultimate. And I did that, and that ended up being like an additional $160 per person to add this.
Wow.
Right, because, or something like that. For the five of us, it was like over $1,200 for the day, for the tickets and the Premier Pass. Now, what I've learned since then, because I had never really done any research on how their system works, they essentially have for their 12 most popular rides the option of doing essentially individual lightning lanes where you can buy a return time, but you can only get up, I think, to 3 attractions in the day, and they cost per ride an individual amount. So like, say you only want to ride a few rides, you could book your 3 rides and you pay a la carte for your skip the line privileges on those rides for the day with a return time. This Premier Access Plus allows you to skip the line on each of those rides once during the day without a return time. So you can just show up and get the fast pass line. You just get in the fast pass line. I figured this was worth it considering that it was one day, but I kind of wanted y'all to react to the fact that it was it was like $1,200 and something for five people, four adults and one child. Although there's actually two kids, but one of them's 12, so I had to pay the adult price. Over $1,200 for one day for five people at Disneyland Paris with the skip the line. What do you guys think going in? I'll find out if it's worth it.
I mean, I think it's worth it because how often do you get to go to Paris and go to Disneyland Paris? And if you only have one day, you might as well make the most of it.
I guess it kind of guarantees that you should be able to get everything in.
Right.
The only thing I was saying was like their attendance is not exactly the highest in the world or anything. It might not be busy enough that it would need that you would need to have skip.
They don't have a lot of hours though. They're not open for very long.
Yeah, when I was there, there was still a lot of long waits for stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Now, what rides do you get to skip the line on?
All right, let me get you the list here.
And was this just Disneyland Paris, or are you going to get to do the studios too, if you wanted to?
Both. This is both. This is a park hopper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that makes the value a little better, actually.
Really, all you need to do is go over there to do, I don't know, I guess the new Rock and Roller Coaster version.
The Marvel thing, the Iron Man, we might as well say.
Yeah.
Yep. So here's the list.
And then
Avengers Assemble Flight Force is included.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's the one, right? Yeah. Okay.
Spider-Man WEB Adventure, Web Adventure.
Oh, okay. So that one's there.
Crush's Coaster.
Ah, no, that's worth it because that one always had a long wait.
Did you do it?
I didn't because it had such a long wait.
Okay.
Big Thunder Mountain.
No, yeah, that one, theirs is fantastic, yeah.
I was going to say all Big Thunders are good.
But theirs is probably the best.
Peter Pan's Flight.
Yeah, it's worth it. Theirs is good. Yeah, I remember we did that.
Ratatouille one. The Adventure included.
It's good, but I mean, it's like, do you need to do it now?
Same thing.
It's exactly the same.
It's exactly the same.
Star Wars Hyperspace Mountain.
No, that's worth it, yeah.
Buzz Lightyear Laser Blast.
Theirs is good. It's like Disneyland's, yeah.
Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
I mean, I guess I didn't do it there because I don't like Tower of Terror.
I wonder, is theirs include the type of ride system that California had?
Right.
Because if that's the case, it would definitely be worth it, in my opinion, just to do that again. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I see.
Here's one that's interesting that's on the list. Autopia.
Yeah, theirs is good. Yeah,
it's worth it. What's different about theirs?
It's more like Disneyland's than...
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, it does have a rail or no?
Yeah, but it's more like... It's not Speedway, you know.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Peril.
That's a cool one.
Star Tours, The Adventure Continues.
Same, right?
Phantom Manor.
Yes.
Awesome.
Man, it was under refurb when I was there. I hate that I missed that.
I was going to say, that has to be awesome. That's the one that
Cars Road Trip.
What is that?
And Orbitron.
I mean, it's like, isn't that like the, what do you call it?
Astro Orbiter?
Astro Orbiter, yeah. That's what it's. So they don't have pirates on that one?
That was the list of what I just read.
I guess pirates has a big enough capacity. Their pirates is much better, too, than Florida's.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, aren't all of them in the world better than
Florida's? But if you were to offer me Disney Premier Access Ultimate, that same thing that in Florida, where you get... You can use one time on each included attraction. Use the fast lane whenever you want. No time slots. And you can buy in advance or at the day. For $160, that is a steal. Because basically to get that same service, you need a VIP tour guide.
Yeah, I mean, when I first saw it, I was thinking you were just doing Disneyland Paris. But you're doing both parks. I mean, it's definitely that's a good deal. It's a good price.
It's a great deal because it's no return time. So imagine if they could sell a product like this at Disney World, but restrict it by the park Like, you can make it where it's for parks. So, heck, I would, you know, I would even buy it some days if I really wanted to just not have to worry too much. Well, I'm sure that wouldn't be allowed in a challenge. But, like, the whole idea of, you know, people would pay a premium to not have to have a return time.
If you could say go to Magic Kingdom because of the just the sheer volume of rides and skip the line at every last one of those. Once,
but they won't. They won't do it though, because there's enough people paying for the VIP tour guide at $800 an hour or whatever. So,
does that include all the rides though?
Was what include all the rides?
The VIP tour. If you wanted to, you could get in front of the line on all the rides.
Yes, yes. You get in the fast pass line of all the rides.
You just tell your guide where you want to go, and they'll take you there.
I mean, that's the only way I think you can ride Guardians more than twice in a day without having extra tickets.
Is by spending lots and lots of money.
Yep. It's an interesting question. Is how much money could you waste? Like, what would be the biggest waste of money to tell a VIP tour guide?
I mean, that would be
ride the mermaid teacups.
Mermaid.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would take them to waste? Rides Barnstorm? That don't have fast pass lines.
Right. Astro Orbiter.
Yeah.
People want to do right.
But I feel like if you brought him to Astro Orbiter and like, this is my favorite ride, he or she would work out a deal that would allow you to just not take the elevator back down. Like, you just sort of stay up there. Keep riding.
Probably.
I can't think of any ride that I want to ride that often. I'm just saying. I mean, a few times would be pretty cool, but I mean, I can recall, I think it was the very first time that we went, like my family went in September, okay? Rock and Roller Coaster was basically a VIP tour. James and I were able to ride it like 6 times in a row. After that, it was a little much to ride Rock and Roller Coaster 6 times in a row, but, you know.
I wouldn't.
Those days are long gone anyway, though. That's when every ride was like 5 minutes in September. I mean.
Yeah.
If you had a VIP tour guide for the day, and you could only use that VIP tour guide to marathon a ride, so all you can use them for is to ride the same ride over and over again, which ride are you?
Which one would it be?
Probably Slinky.
I don't think I would pick a thrill ride. The reason why I say that is because, you know, after a while you would become less tolerant of it, I guess.
I mean, I think I could do like Big Thunder or Slinky over and over again.
7 hours is the minimum tour.
I can ride Slinky for 7 hours.
Well, something that has a really relaxing... I have to think of something that has a really relaxing ride to it.
But would have a long wait that would make it worth it.
I don't know. That combination of those two things probably doesn't exist, so...
Could do Rise of the Resistance all day, but I would get tired of it after, like, one ride.
I could ride the Skyliner all day, but I could do that now anyway, so...
Would you use it to... Let's see. What would be...
Guardians I would throw up after the third one, probably.
I was going to say, that's what I'm saying. There's no ride I can think that I'd want to do all day long.
I love Guardians, but I wouldn't ride it all day. There's no way I could do that.
It had to be something that has a comfortable ride system or seat.
And is not too intense.
Right. What would that be?
For us old people, now that we're old people.
Not just here to say, like you're going to say something like, okay, Mission Space Orange. No. I mean, no one's going to say that.
No.
You probably die. You can't survive it that often.
Like Test Track or something. I mean, Test Track would be okay, but I would get tired of like sitting with other people.
What if you rode the safari all day?
I would get bored.
It's too hot.
I get bored
it all day. How about Navi River Journey, Adam? I mean,
Lord, don't even get me started. I would get tired of seeing Miss Cleo. I call her Miss Cleo because she sounds like. Yeah.
I guess in a way she does. Yes, I remember this psychic. I wonder whatever happened to her.
We're old enough to remember that.
You know, one that would be kind of relaxing to ride, except for the seats, would be Living with the Land.
I think I would get tired of Flight of Passage all over and over again.
I think I'd get tired of most of them.
I can't think of one that I would be like...
What if you did Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway?
Yeah, I'd get tired of that. Like I said, I think it would be Slinky Dog or like Big Thunder. Those would be the ones I wouldn't really get tired of.
Big Thunder would be fun. Still, though, that many times in a row, I mean.
Yeah. Well, like you said, if you had a kidney stone, you could get it.
Get out then.
Pretty quick.
I mean, I like Mansion, but I mean, I think I would kind of get tired of Mansion after a few times. Well,
after it broke down like 1,000 times during your day.
The riverboat?
Spaceship Earth. I mean,
there's a challenge I don't know if anybody's ever done, and it's a challenge you can easily do. Ride every riverboat for a day. You can be on every riverboat.
That's true. You know, when you mentioned Spaceship Earth, Adam, I was like, if the seat was just high enough that I could actually, my head, like tall folks, can actually rest their heads against it, then maybe I might would go with it. But it's not it's not exactly the most relaxing seat.
Yes, you can't lay down in it either. It's too not wide enough.
Yeah. I can't think of one that I would want to do all day long. I'm just saying. Yeah. I can't think of one.
Point is, if they had this system at Disney World where you could buy like a pass that allows you to just ride each ride once.
Yeah.
I would buy that.
I wouldn't want to have to do it every as long as you have options, right? You could buy a Genie Plus or you could do this. I mean, yeah. I would buy it every now and then.
Is there really any ride that has a super comfortable seat, and why is it that they don't?
Because they don't want you to ride it over and over again.
Well, I mean, the thing is, most people aren't going to get to do that anyway. But I'm just saying, why is there not a ride that has a better seating? I don't know. I can't think of one that has particularly comfortable seating.
People Mover is pretty comfy.
Yeah, that one is all right. But I mean, you're also a little longer ride. Yeah, people mover. I could see myself doing that for a long period of time.
What about the Carousel of Progress?
No.
It's got comfortable seating, right? It's just old.
Yeah, it actually does.
No. I mean, I wouldn't call it that comfortable, but yeah.
Have you been close to falling asleep
before? Yes, but I've almost fallen asleep in a lot of places.
The one attraction that was really good for sleeping was Sounds Dangerous back when it was still there. That was really good for sleeping.
Yeah.
I never did Ellen's Energy Adventure, but I heard it was a good nap.
That one was pretty good, too, actually. The seats weren't the most comfortable, but actually, one of the last times I rode that, I actually laid down in it because I had nobody else in the seat with me, so I actually did take a nap in there.
Nice.
The Skyliner's pretty comfortable. I've taken a nap on the Skyliner.
I mean, when you get your own monorail car, you could take a nap in there. Just saying. Monorail's comfy. You get air conditioning. Moldy air conditioning on the monorail.
Ugh. Now the monorail seats are having improved over the years. Yeah,
they are comfy.
I just can't figure out, like, especially what we're just talking, the transportation. I guess the buses actually have decent seats now. Some of them do.
Some do. Yeah, it depends on which bus. Like, yeah, there's a few that are.
I just can't figure out since we brought it up, what they were thinking, like why they didn't make transportation more comfortable. Transportation especially.
Like, why are airplanes so uncomfortable? It's like they're just trying to get as many people on as possible.
Well, in an airplane, you can at least take a nap if you wanted to. I mean,
I can't sleep on planes.
Can you imagine taking a nap in the Skyliner?
Well, Jason took a nap in the Skyliner. If you're on the Epcot line, you can, yeah. You got a good 5 or 10 minute nap, maybe, the most.
I took a nap. I did.
Yeah,
I say if you've got it to yourself and you actually could like lay out on the floor or something, I guess. I don't know.
No. I was there. I sat on the chair, put my feet up across.
I have a picture of him sleeping on the Skyliner. Yeah.
Passed out.
So I know we're way over time, but since we're just chewing the fat, I did want to talk about bathrooms. Like, I don't know why this subject has been in my head, but what's your favorite bathroom at Animal Kingdom?
My go-to.
Yeah, like, really is, do you have a go-to?
I go to a lot. When I'm at Animal Kingdom, I like to feel just like the animals do, so... Oh, wait, no.
There's a couple of places that I will go. There's a strip between Africa and Asia.
Yeah.
There's a bathroom there that's pretty good. But there's that quick service location that's not usually open in the mornings, but it's open for lunch, that has all that seating, you know what I'm talking about? I guess it's around the Africa area.
The Harambe Market?
The one that, yeah, has like all the seating right beside it. I think that's what it's called. Anyways, there's a bathroom back there. Very private if you need to make a pit stop.
That one I'm not as familiar with. I know which one you're talking about.
I'm trying to think. I can't think of hardly any bathrooms in Animal Kingdom that I visited on a regular basis.
I usually end up with the one over by Satuli Canteen.
Yep, we're always over there. Yep.
That's one that we always usually end up. The other one in Pandora. Inside of
Tiffin's, whenever you're sitting at Nomad's, not too bad.
Yeah, that too. That's a good bathroom. Hollywood Studios. What's your go-to?
My go-to?
Trying to think.
Probably the one in Toy Story Land is pretty pretty popular, and I almost always end up having to go in Galaxy's Edge.
I was about to go with Galaxy's Edge just because of theming.
Which one do you pick? The one by the market or the one by...
The one over by the Sith area. And that as you're leaving...
The droid depot right behind it area,
Yeah.
That was probably the better one, yeah.
Mm. I'm trying to think. I know the only one I really remember off the top of my head is the one over there close to the market that you're talking about.
Of course, I won't ever forget the one on Sunset Boulevard whenever we went back in like 2019. When we had our friend with us and her son was there and he had me take him to the bathroom. And he's like, at the time, like 7. And I was waiting outside for him. I was waiting outside the stall for him. He's like 7. He's like, oh, you can go ahead. I'll meet up with you later. Like, I was just going to leave him.
Right.
he's just hanging out in the bathroom. It's like, don't worry about me. I'm good. I'm like, I cannot leave you.
Yeah, I can't. Right. Yeah, there was one time he was just like, oh, I'll go find a bathroom. I'll find it. Like, we were at Epcot, and he was just like, oh, I'll find a bathroom. He just took off walking. I'm like, you don't know where you're going. Like, I'm sure you will, but then will you find us? Yeah.
Oh, I do. Anyway. I do like the bathrooms by the bus stop at Hollywood Studios. That was my get outside myself psyched up and prepare myself for my challenge bathroom, whatever I want to always kick off from Hollywood Studios.
Oh, right.
Like your last chance to pee before you you go.
Start your long day of, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like the ones outside of Star Tours. Those new bathrooms is too small.
Too small, yeah.
The ones over by Pizza Rizzo, though, are nice. I like that one. And the one by Frozen, like... Behind
we know way too much about these bathrooms, don't we?
I know, right? See? But it's like when you have kids, you always have to have that in mind. Like, because especially, you know, my youngest is like, he waits till the last second and then it's like potty emergency.
If you need privacy, go over to where the, what's the Star Wars Launch Bay is and past Voyage of the Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Off to the left of Star Wars Launch Bay where there's privacy. Nobody. There's nobody. Private bathrooms.
Not now.
So Epcot, then. There's tons of good ones at Epcot.
I feel like I always end up going to inside of Nemo. And then I always feel like I end up going inside the land for some reason. I don't know why that is.
There's tons of bathrooms, but I think the one that you went to in the Imagination Building is a hidden private one.
Yeah. It's so basically if you see Winnie the Pooh out there, like, you know, his little spot. That's your cue to go around.
Your cue to poo.
Right. That's like he hangs out there in that area, but yeah. Behind Imagination, that's very few people know that one's back there. That's a good one. Morocco's are, you know, good.
Morocco's, I was about to say Morocco's is one that's kind of where nobody knows where it is too.
Yeah. It's not bad. It's usually pretty good. I like the ones over by like walking before you get to like Canada, that trail that goes off towards Imagination. There's new bathrooms. Yeah, there's a good family one there too. That's good. You can get, especially if you have kids, you can get those family ones. Those are good.
International Gateway seems to be another popular stopping point, apparently, just timing for us. I don't know why that is.
Like the Mexico Pavilion too, a lot of people don't think about it, but if you know, you basically have to go into San Angel Inn to go to that's really the only bathroom in there, but it's usually not busy because it's just people from the restaurant. But if you're sitting at La Cava, and I frequently have to take my youngest bathroom, that's a good one. Baby Care Center, if you have a kid under 3, the Baby Care Center at Epcot is like the cleanest bathroom I've ever seen because there's a men's bathroom and a women's bathroom in there. The men's bathroom is the cleanest bathroom I've ever seen.
There you go.
Magic Kingdom.
Who's next? Magic Kingdom.
I was trying to think, the other one I've used over there in Epcot, though, was the Ratatouille section.
Right. I don't like, they're too small. The other one, though, at Epcot, Norway. Norway has great bathrooms. Bathroom in Norway. Love that one.
All right. Sorry, I didn't mean to keep us there. Let's move along.
So Magic Kingdom, obviously everybody always talks about the Rapunzel bathroom.
Rapunzel, yeah. Rapunzel's are good. good.
I've never been in the Rapunzel, actually.
Oh, man. It's a great one. Newer one, which is good. Anything is newer.
The ones over by Tomorrowland Terrace or...
Yeah. Right, yeah. Those are... I don't like the one over by Space Mountain.
Okay. I'm just trying to think. I feel like the one that I've used the most over my career has got to be the one over there in a career, you know.
Your Disney career.
Yeah, my Disney career. Seems to be the one over in Caribbean Plaza.
Yeah, the Pirates one.
Yeah, the ones right in between. You know what I'm talking about?
I was going to say that one's good. The one inside Pecos Bill is good too, but the one at Pirates has the family one too.
That's yeah, I'm not talking about the one right at Pirates, though. I'm talking about the one that's like there's a walkway, just the walkway between Frontierland.
Yeah, that's.
I've visited that one the most frequently for whatever reason. I don't know. I guess it's just timing.
I would say that's a Frontier Adventureland one.
Hidden and potentially private bathroom at Magic Kingdom. Head on over to Tom Sawyer Island. Go on out to Fort Langhorne.
That is the best.
And there is a little bath. There's some little bathrooms there for you.
In the fort. Private. Yes. Yeah, we went there and I was like, this is the greatest discovery I've ever seen. Yeah, that's a great
one. So you mean to tell me that the next time you're over there and you need to go, you're going to wait on the raft?
Yeah.
Yep.
Get on the raft. Yeah, if you want privacy. Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay. Hopefully you don't have to go too bad. You have to do some
playing. All the way over to Fort Langhorne.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to march all the way over there and get in. Yeah. Those are good.
So you really have to be thinking ahead if you want to use this one, folks.
That is a good one, though. I'm trying to think of any others at Magic Kingdom. I like the ones behind the fire station, too, Main Street, but that's a good one.
I think the other one we've used more frequently is the one right there beside Pinocchio's Village House. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The ones on the other side of it, the Small World side, obviously, because I'm turning
the other
you mean
side.
In, yeah, yeah.
No, it's not in. There's outside. Some bathrooms like if you go around the corner.
They're kind of.
I feel like we've visited those frequently for those whatever reason. Just timing once again.
Right. All right. Any resorts that you particularly like?
Just like their bathroom.
I like Grand Floridian's
bathroom. I was gonna say
they're great.
The only one I can think of that I've visited frequently public-wise is Polynesians, obviously. Both the upstairs
the
and downstairs.
The ones by Captain Cook's downstairs. And the ones outside of Ohana, not bad.
Right.
But
I was going to say, we've visited those like tons of times.
Right. Very familiar with those. But Grand Floridian, right in the lobby, like the one that's near the front of the lobby, off to the side, like that one's usually not busy. That's like, that's a really good one.
You know the resort bathrooms even.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think. I'm like resort wise, outside of my own room, the Poly is the only one I can think of that I've used the public restrooms that I can think of.
Oh man!
Well, by the pools, Grand Floridian's you always great. Got the ones by the pools.
Yeah, I'm like contemporary. I'm trying to think of the ones in the lobby by Steakhouse 71 are good.
Yeah, I can think of the Coronados. Pool bar ones, the Riviera's pool bathrooms.
Yeah, the Riviera one behind Bar Riva is a good one because it is very secluded. You kind of have, it's almost, you feel like you're going in a backstage area, but there's bathrooms back there. That's a good one.
Some of the more unique ones that I've encountered are actually on the cruise ship.
Unique bathrooms? What do you mean?
Oh, they do have some unique bathrooms.
Theming design. Yeah.
Oh, theming. Okay. Trying to think if I know of any of those.
You think about the district, like you remember that all those bathrooms in that area that we went.
I do remember
the black tile and the mirrors everywhere.
Yeah, that was cool. I remember that.
Like the individual circle bathrooms or whatever.
Yeah, you look up and you see yourself. That's weird. But
there's one in particular that like really fancy that you go into. I can't remember what section it's on the Fantasy, if I'm not mistaken. So his dream would probably have the same one. But I swear the first time that I went there, they had like a, what do you call that? Whenever there's like an attendant there, and there a name for him? There was like a bathroom attendant that was in the bathroom, is basically what I'm trying to say.
Nice. You have to give him a
tip. I don't know if they still do that or not.
All right. Disney Springs, the ones like under the escalators for the Lime Garage. That's a good one.
Those always have a line. I go closer to where they used to sell annual passes, the guest services area. There's a good one there.
Over by Amorette's Patisserie.
Yeah, there's one there.
That's a good one. It's pretty good.
Well, I don't know where all this stuff is.
None of them stand out.
Why do we know where all this stuff is?
Because we have kids, that's why.
Exactly.
like we have to know where bathrooms are. Because of the children. Anyway. All right. I think that sums it up for now. Because we could talk about bathrooms all day, but it's kind of weird.
That's kind of weird, yes. That they
I think we got enough out of that. I think I'm good now.
Yeah. I think you squeezed it out.
Yeah. I squeezed enough out of that topic.
It was your week to drive, Adam, and you drove us straight to the loo. So I'm just saying.
Oh, the water closet, the toilet, or loo.
La toilette.
Yeah.
Oh, the toilet.
So that'll wrap us up. Where can we be found on the interwebs, John?
Well, I mean, there's Facebook, there's Twitter, and there's Instagram. That's all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store, of course, in which you can buy your exclusive TWTM merchandise.
Talking like a baby.
Exclusive. Yeah, it's exclusive. Where was I on that? Exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM podcast. We have a YouTube channel, as we have mentioned, and we have a couple of splash videos out there. I hope to be adding a couple more because I have, like I said, tons of on-ride splash videos, and Splash is now closed. So you can go check that out. Where at?
On our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. There's links to all that and more. You can email us, podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. You can, if you need help with your next Disney trip, you can use our travel agent friend. Her information is also on our website. So for John and Jason, my name is Adam. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.
Seconds is a new record for John, at least.
Oh, really?
Did we get enough puns out of the bathroom thing?
Maybe. I have no idea.